SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Right in quick, people. No need for a big introduction. Yet we're right back at it. Donnie, Kevin, it's the best hour every day now officially underway. It is Moneyline, and away we go. We got a lot of hot topics to get to. Craziness over the weekend in the NFL and how it sets up for an exciting week 18, and also how it sets up maybe for some draft action, for some futures, and so many markets to try to check into, Kevin. It's ready. We're ready here. Like, just a few weeks ago, it feels like, we were breaking down week number one in the NFL. Now we're finally at week 18.
Yeah, the week 18 excitement is legit. I saw some complaints around how maybe they've placed the schedule. I don't think they were left. Yeah, the Saturday portion of it. I don't know. Did you see any of this? Do you care about any of this when it comes to the week 18 kind of placements?
No, I thought they did a pretty good job, though, right? Like, from what I was seeing, where it made sense with the games they put in, right?
Yeah, so the beef I saw, it must be from some potential, like, Ravens fans, ultimately.
Okay.
But was, when the Ravens beat the Browns, Pittsburgh then can go all bench guys in the game against Cincinnati.
Correct.
Which, the idea is, since Pittsburgh should have to play at the same time as Baltimore, that way Pittsburgh doesn't get to rest starters. But there was really nothing they could do, if we're honest, because the Saturday games had to have some influence.
Correct.
Yes. And Baltimore needs that game. And now, even if Pittsburgh doesn't need the game, Cincinnati needs the game, right? So I don't know. I get what people are saying. Like, the correct option would be, yeah, we're just going to play everybody on Sunday. We're not going to go double duty. But that's just not how the NFL operates anymore. The NFL's on as many days as they can be.
Yeah, and don't worry about it. Mike Tomlin will handle your business out there by playing his starters the entire game, talking about they got a game to win. So don't worry about it, Steelers. You'll see their starters when you probably shouldn't, and you should be rested up. But also, we need to take a look at what we saw this past weekend. And we're going to start in Philadelphia, Kevin, because it is an extreme hot topic when to play players and what the meaningfulness of those plays will be. Yesterday on the panel, had another winning week this week on Sunday. Fantastic. Enjoyed it. Weathermen, you know, just get out of my life at this point, because I lost a bet last night because I thought it was going to be Noah's Ark type of rain, Kevin, in Washington. And it wasn't. Didn't even rain. It was a beautiful night, which was over 6.5 carries for Algier, the backup running back, which he usually averages anyway. But I said, you know what? Extra carries around because of the rain. Didn't happen there. But if we are looking at Philadelphia, you had Saquon Barkley. One of my bets was over 21.5 carries. I was like, I probably should have put, you know, like my kids' college tuition on it because how strong I felt. But, you know, you don't like to do that. You see plays lose, and it's a running back, and you get banged up. He didn't get banged up. Saquon went nuts yesterday and got himself within 100 yards of the all-time record. But I thought it was interesting the way that game played out, because I saw you text me like, you know what, I'm going over this number, easily cash it in the second half, because you knew the goal for this game was, yes, the Eagles had to win, but while they were winning, you knew Kenneth Gainwell was not going to be a part of that game as long as Saquon was healthy, and he wasn't. And Saquon was running wild. But they got him to 2,000. They called a timeout. And this wasn't, Kevin, 2 minutes and 42 seconds left in the game where it was a four-score game. No, it wasn't. It was early in the fourth quarter. Timeout. Celebrate. Put the graphic on the board. You just rest for 2,000. Say goodbye, and you're going off. That wasn't for him to say, hey, you know what? Had a great game. I'm 100 yards. I'll do it next week against the Giants. Because if they were thinking about doing it next week against the Giants, Kevin, he would have got another 10 carries in that fourth quarter to try to get as close as he could get.
Yeah. You talk about the attempts bet. And listen, it's a common feeling because I placed a live Saquon wager. He was at 115. We were just finishing the third quarter. And they had a 138.5. And to me, I believed, similar to you, right, that Saquon didn't care about the record. Now, guys are still human beings. If 2,000 is that, you know, obtainable, you're going to go and get 2,000 yards. And the Eagles were up. They were giving him the ball. Defenses wear down. So I attacked it more than best bet style. And he hit it immediately, right? Like, I was annoyed at myself again, right? Like I played it for more than I typically would and was still mad that I didn't play it for more. That was the way that broke out. I just don't think it's realistic he goes for it next week because you then have to have others play. And we already know Jalen Hurts isn't playing because that would be totally insane, right? Lane Johnson, Jordan Mailata, A.J. Brown, you want to get Devonta Smith. You want to get these guys rest. You do. And you add in the fact that the Eagles now, with the way the NFC playoffs have broke, Donnie, you know, just the projected field, right? Projected.
Yes.
Is Buffalo as the two seed will play Denver, right? The Eagles aren't playing a Denver Broncos team. But right now, they're supposed to be playing the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
You know? So to me, listen, it is what it is. Ultimately, Donnie, with a 17-game season, you could still kind of question the record if you really wanted to. He ran for 2,000, offensive player of the year, probably unanimously. Go win a Super Bowl now. Go win a Super Bowl.
Correct. He's going to get a week off, and he's going to get 30 more touches in the playoffs to try to win a Super Bowl, which is the goal. Now, granted, you're going to have all walks of life jump in on these opportunities, and I love the debate because I think it's great. And it's not just from an Eagles fan perspective. Let me remove myself from that. You know what I'm saying, Kevin? If I am a Detroit Lions fan, if I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan or a Packers fan, you better put those starters out there and run him 37 times if he needs to get the yardage against the Giants. Because I want him worn out and I want him done with. And maybe the possibility that he's been injured in the past, he trips up. Maybe it's a foot injury. Maybe it's an ankle, a knee, or a hamstring, and he's not at 100% capabilities here. You have the perfect scenario because I talked about this just a few weeks ago from an Eagles perspective. If we just remove Saquon Barkley from it, I said, you know what? After the Eagles beat the Ravens, I really thought the Eagles would be the number one overall seed because they would run the table, right? And said, okay. And the other teams have tough schedules. They'll lose a game here, lose a game there, final game of the season, it'll decide it. And it was becoming apparent over the past 2 weeks that no matter what the Eagles did, if they just kept winning, they were going to get iced out. So again, you know, I have people out there that I'm friendly with on Twitter and guys that I know very well called it a stupid take where I said, you know what? This loss to Washington, fantastic. They're going to beat Dallas next week. They're going to rest up in week 18. It's going to work out better because theoretically, if you were still in it, which looks like they were probably going to be, but not be able to get it, they would have played all of their starters in week 18. Saquon Barkley would have broke the all-time rushing record. And you know there would be guys up, banged up, injury, concussions that you would have to answer towards. Now you don't have any of those issues. You bubble wrap your top 15 players. Don't let them see the field. And you go into the playoffs with a healthy and motivated football team.
You know, ultimately, teams want these bye weeks, right? Like if Eagles were going to get the one. Like KC Donnie is going to lay out for about a month. I actually think there would be an argument that Philly then, since they would have had, like if the Eagles had the one seed clinched, right, the way KC does, I would listen to an argument of, no, we're going to throw Saquon out there. We still have rest in our back pocket. Hold on.
Yeah, I got you. Yep, play it out. Yeah, I got you.
I'm not actually telling you that that would be where I would. I'm just saying I would understand it.
Yes.
Bye weeks are so important in the NFL that you can't pass on one when you get it. And I think ultimately, whether people want to have this debate with you or not, you are correct because otherwise they run Saquon until that game is over. And at that point, because I know for you, Donnie, that if he was 40 yards away going into week 18, you probably go, you know what, just let him get it, man, whatever, right?
Correct.
Or even as passionately as you feel about it. Well, if the Eagles really wanted to, they probably could have got him that close. You know, to some degree, Donnie, I do wish they let him keep going because Dallas completely quit in that game, and I wonder if he could have hit another 70-yarder to the house and just broke the record last week, obviously. But, yeah, it's just it's not going to happen. Can I add this quickly just to the pot?
Yeah.
One, how does Saquon not score? Two, I lost Kenny Pickett over 3.5 rush attempts.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, three QB sneaks, and they never got back in the game.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I didn't even tweet you because I was going to tweet you what a great play that was because of all the quarterback sneak tush pushes. We'll be right back at Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
59 hot topics from NFL action this past weekend. None hotter than Saquon Barkley. Should the Philadelphia Eagles let him go for the rushing record or just put a bow on the season for him and say, welcome to the playoffs, now let's do more damage? For me, I would be shocked if Saquon Barkley shows up against the New York Giants on Sunday and is playing in that game, because as Kevin and I talked about, if that were to be the case, Saquon would have had at least 5 to 6 more carries in that fourth quarter, which he easily would have had. Let's just tack on 25 more yards, 75 yards. We can wrap this up in the first quarter. If we run it every play, the Giants are done. I understand that. But there's bigger fish to be fried. And also, Kevin, I do think last year's debacle in New York, where the Eagles go, hey, we're not playing very good football. I do want to play the starters. Let's get back on track. And everybody got injured, played worse, and they were an abomination the next Monday night. That does play into it at this point. Yeah. So asking you this, though, we don't think, or I don't think, you don't think also, Saquon is going to take the field next Sunday against the Giants.
No, not at all. And at this point, neither is Kenny Pickett. Like, we're going to get the Tanner McKee game.
It's a good point you brought up, too, because you say, like, everybody has to play. Let's understand this. Concussions can be tricky at times, depending on how the player recovers. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts, I don't know. They don't release details on how far he progressed, but we haven't heard anything that's the leaking, like, hey, he can't even, like, you know, be out in the sunlight. Because I think we saw him last week in the sunlight walking around when they handed out the golf carts between Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts to the offensive lineman. He was in that video, which obviously was after he got the concussion. But let's just say, like, he doesn't clear concussion protocol. Kenny Pickett's got broken ribs. Like, you probably still want Kenny Pickett to say, you got 2 weeks to get ready for this with the broken ribs. But you can't play Kenny Pickett next week or the risk of injury to Tanner McKee. Then you don't have Ian Book as your guy. So it's so many things go like all the way down the list where you just can't make it happen. Now, I do want to talk to you about this. And it does deal with the New York Giants. You've heard me say this time and time again. And also you can deal with the Vegas Raiders as well. They both picked up victories. Your team has been nothing but dog crap the entire season. Your fans are paying out the nose for season tickets. All they want is competency out of the organization, which they haven't gotten. So all you have to do is stay the course if you're the Giants and the Raiders and say, just lose out. We've suffered enough misery. Soon as the season ends, we have the number one overall pick. We can start to get excited about next year and maybe have a franchise. They go out and win that football game. Now, if you saw the quotes from the locker room, they're right. Like, the players are like, hey, man, we got a job to do. We're trying to win. Fully understand it. That is what they're supposed to do. But even again, as I talk about just the Eagle fandom, Kevin, a couple years ago, the Eagles were in position to beat the Washington Commanders, who absolutely sucked in an empty Lincoln Financial Field, and said, you know what? The general manager and the coach and the owner made a decision. We can't win this football game. It got them Devonta Smith. Who knows who they would have gotten if they fell down 5 or 6 more spots. It wouldn't have been Devonta Smith. Would help turn the franchise tails around. And he said, okay, smart ownership. Giants fans, I can't believe the Eagles didn't play this out. I said, nobody cares about Eleanor fans. It's what you owe to your fan base to make your team better. And that was the case. So then if you fast forward and say, okay, how you play out for the Giants, it's not as if you're going to say, well, you know, we're going to tank it. I'm going to tell every player just to play bad in this game. Like Drew Lock plays, Kevin, in the first half and he's playing well. Okay, let's get a look at the guy we just signed off the street on Monday. Get a quote unquote look at him for the rest of the second half. Or a third and eight play, Kevin, that you have dialed up to Malik Nabers, who can bust this, and you go fullback dive up the middle. We'll never see it coming, which turns into a punt as opposed to a big play. How can the Giants win that football game yesterday on Sunday? How?
You know, DRS, I got to tell you, I understand where you're coming from. I always find the notion of lose intentionally tough. Who was the coach that won his last game somewhere?
Was it Lovie Smith?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And like cost them massively.
Correct.
Like for Dable, he couldn't care less, right? Because he ain't coaching their draft. And so he got that whole kind of piece of the puzzle. Yes. And I almost feel the bigger takeaway is now everything around Indianapolis I feel uncomfortable about.
But by the way, real quick on Indy, Kevin. They threw Carson Wentz out for a loss like this a couple years ago. Did they throw Anthony Richardson out and Joe Flacco? Is the owner step in and say, well, you know what, unacceptable?
It would be if it was logical. Well, not it's not logical, but it would be Steichen, right? Yes. You can't blame one quarterback. The fact that they gave up, again, 40 yards to the worst offense in football, like that To lose like that, Donnie, is impossible. Yeah. Like, if you're Shane Steichen, you know, who's ever their defensive coordinator, you go, I have no choice. I obviously have to fire you. I have no choice here. Like, someone has to lose a job when something like that happens. Let's be very clear. The Indianapolis Colts had to beat the Giants and Jaguars in order to have one upset come their way on week 18 to make the playoffs.
Yes.
They had the clear path. They didn't execute it, which is just absolutely remarkable to see. So I will say for the Giants, just looking at the current draft order, I think they'll still be able to come away with a quarterback. It just could cost them a little bit now.
Correct. Like you are costing your franchise draft picks that weren't needed. You sucked all year. We're just asking you to suck a few more games and ask. And I don't want to, because some fans will still be like, oh, I always cheer for my team to win. But ask just a informed fan, hey, look, you got two games left. If the Giants got beat 45-0, 45-0, would you be happy or upset with that? 90% of them, Kevin, would say absolutely smoke the Giants, get that number one pick. But the fact that I actually played hard, I was joking too, because I put out a tweet yesterday, like, oh my God, they're blowing this. It's crazy. And the Colts scored like immediately. I'm like, oh, you know what? There is way too much time left. Like, there's no way the Giants win it. And they just kept making plays and kept making plays and won that game.
I would tell you this. You started to see it bubble. I don't know if word comes out, if they're smart. Maybe it's coincidental. But week 18 has some juice, right? But not a lot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now everybody's obsessed with the draft order. Because honestly, that's one of the best topics of week 18. If you take a look, Donnie, right? Like, the Titans are favored. The Pats like opened at pick against Buffalo. The Eagles opened at like pick against the Giants. Everybody outside of Cleveland who's catching 700 points from Baltimore has the chance actually to win their football game.
It's crazy. And I also want to talk about head coaches, Kevin, who still haven't mastered. How much time's left in the game?
Oh my gosh.
Let's call a timeout here. Yeah, we got topics, people. Don't you go anywhere. It's Moneyline. We got you covered. Trust me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, right back at it. Topics keep going through. And if you heard before the break, you know I love to throw that teaser in there. Watching the game on Sunday Night Football, I'm usually in bed, Kevin, no later than maybe 9:30, like winding down, fall asleep, never in the second half. I was so, I don't want to say happy is the right word, but excited watching that football game. Like, you know what? I really like the way the Commanders play. Jaden Daniels has been on a heater. Let me see if the Falcons can actually hold on to this double-digit lead. And how we got there at the end of the first half was, you have three times, it's not the NBA, where it's like, you know what? We have the lead. I want to hold my timeout to the end of the game because I can carry them over in the second half. The fact that they wound up with a field goal because time was running out while they were in plus territory, hilarious, but they made the field goal 17-7. Watching the start of the second half, which we'll get to the more impressive things, but not using your timeouts. You get to the end of the game, and we'll go back to the way some of these big games happens, but I just want to talk about, Kevin, where head coaches who are in the moment that fans on their couch understand, and I was joking like this morning, like even making like the timeout signal, like we'll sit on our couch and be like, you know, timeout, 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 and actually make the signal when we know there should be a timeout. Way too many coaches don't understand how the clock operates, Kevin, when it's really just standard time. Like there's nothing like a calculator algorithm that comes up on when you should use your timeouts. Like someone say, okay, I'm going to use them before the 2-minute warning or after the 2-minute warning. But if I have a big play, or I'm in the middle of the field and time is running down, you automatically call the timeout. The end game scenario, Kevin, where you throw a ball by the sideline and it's like, okay, it was close. Was he in or out? You know within a fraction of a second by looking at the sideline where the ref is winding the clock, whether you know it's going back or forth. And on a play where time is running out and you have multiple timeouts, the minute you hit that play, you're calling timeout automatically. And if you are out of bounds and you call timeout, the refs walk over and like, hey, look, you're out of bounds. I know you're calling at the same time. You get your timeout back. The fact that late in that game, forget about even the first half, which was a debacle, that timeout wasn't called, that ended your season for the Falcons. It ended your season.
I actually think the first here the only world the first half Donnie is relevant because it happened twice in the same game, in the same fashion. I know how I am with this stuff. You know, for anybody who maybe doesn't hang out with us at night, but situational football, I believe I have a good grasp on. I believe that Donnie and I have been doing in-game stuff for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect. You know, I love him to death, Lisi, right? But yeah. Most times if you ask Lisi situationally, he's just going to kind of let you know what he needs betting-wise, right?
Correct. Yes.
But you will notice that during all these shows, I'll turn to Donnie. Run it here. Time out here. What's this? Are we punting here? Because this is what Donnie and I have been doing this together now for years, just the situational football, where I sent out the tweet if a team hired me. I'm being dead serious. I actually think I have a very good mind for situational football. With that said, I don't think there's a lot of people, Donnie, that mm-hmm. call football games that have a great mind for situational football, to where if they are screaming from the top of their lungs that you're making a mockery of a situation, you're in yes. a bad spot. Raheem Morris yesterday had a type of situation that there isn't a person. I think if my mom was watching the game, she would have said, time out.
Yes.
That was insane. You take this Falcons season now, Donnie, you have the evidence to fire Raheem Morris. You absolutely do. Again, wild move to go defensive coach. You're correct. You're now doing the rookie quarterback thing, so you'd like to get an offensive mind in there anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Because Kirk Cousins didn't last the season. You're wiping out the quarterback. You might as well wipe out the coach. You might as well.
It was, and again, it was the biggest moment. And sometimes these get buried on, like, let's just say it's a 1 o'clock game where only the local fan base was watching and the other team and maybe not a national audience. But the bigness of that game, which was like, okay, if Atlanta wins, they're going to win the division. If Washington loses, they still got to play week 18 and a lot of things are still up in the air. And yeah. to come away with that game going, boy, Michael Penix, who started the game out with an interception, like, oh, maybe it's too big for the moment. A double-digit lead at the half. Michael Penix with a sensational final drive, which ends in a touchdown. And then you don't actually get the football at the end of the game in overtime because Washington has it there. And by the way, I was surprised by this. And you can get on referees at times. I mean, opening up of the second half, they were just sacking Jaden Daniels left and right. And they called that one play, which you can watch every single play happen. You didn't even reroute the guy. You basically just bumped into him going over the middle. And that five-yard penalty basically took Atlanta out. Now, granted, Atlanta had multiple chances to get stops, but you saw that avalanche start flowing. Three plays for Atlanta in the third quarter, just a three and out. And Jaden Daniels, the new version of Michael Vick, we got to talk about that. We absolutely do. It's Moneyline. The hot topics are flowing. Donnie and Kevin, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of big doings on Sunday. One of the biggest doings is you feel like how good Jaden Daniels has been this year in the NFL. Then you realize what he did Sunday Night Football. 24 for 36, 227, three touchdown passes. Did throw an interception. Was sacked five times, but carried 16 times for 127 yards. He might, like, because, you know, watching from an Eagles, like, hey, you know what? Jalen Hurts can make plays with his feet. We're at the point now where Jaden Daniels is so young in his career that it's, if I go hut, hike, take a 3 to 5 step drop, wait there 1 second, nobody can stop me from getting 10 yards. You can spy me. You can edge rush where it's like, you know, keep the guy in the pocket. And Kevin, none of it matters. Whatever Jaden Daniels wanted Sunday Night Football, he just took it.
He's an incredible runner. You saw it at LSU. It's the best part of his game. It is. The question, I guess, for Jaden Daniels is, can he make the leaps that, you know, to some degree Lamar has? I say to some degree because I guess we just still have these postseason questions around Lamar. Yeah. Which I think we do, but you know, it's interesting with Daniels DRS because it doesn't seem like he wants to run that much. I feel like Lamar, when he was, you know, first getting going, he was like, I'm going to run all the time. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It seems like Daniels is entering into the league, where he's like taking it, you know, stride by stride. One thing he does that I appreciate is the like slow step out of bounds where he's like, what are you even worried about here? I'm just going to walk out. I think that that's got a little bit of pop to it. So we'll see. I'll just say this as an Eagle fan, strictly as an Eagle fan. Mm-hmm. I desperately want to play the Commanders in round number one. I think we will destroy that team.
Yes, it would be a sort of a look at what you saw when Washington came to Philadelphia early in the season. Big moments, crowd. Yes, Jaden Daniels is a tremendous prospect, but the Eagles would hang 50 on that defense full gas the entire way. Mm-hmm. Like they would have, at 55 plus probably if Jalen Hurts didn't get hurt in that last game. So it does bring up the interesting point because in the NFL, when you do take a look overall at the standings, right? You say, all right, who's going to probably be playing who? Who's going to match up and, you know, do it? And I look at the NFC. Because we're still waiting on who that final team is going to be, right? As you look at it, so it's, you know, Vikings are in, Eagles are in, Rams are in, waiting on the Buccaneers and waiting on the Atlanta Falcons. But the Buccaneers are 3 touchdown favorites coming up this weekend. Yeah. They're going to win that game. Yeah. And rightfully so. And he said, Don, you know what? Just for the fun of betting, who do you want in Atlanta or would you like in Tampa? It's Tampa by a mile. Bucky's going to get 25 carries now that you don't have to worry about managing him. He's going to be electric. Mike Evans is going to get the ball every other play, which is going to be fun. McMillan somehow scores every week multiple touchdowns. And you have Baker Mayfield as your quarterback over 1.5 touchdowns, which I took yesterday. Should have took over 4.5 touchdown passes. He threw 5. So I like that. But as a wild card, let's just say as the standings are per se, Lions, Vikings, Green Bay Packers, and Commanders. That is as good as a wild card spot as you can possibly have them, Kevin. It's outrageous how good that wild card is in the NFC.
Yeah, it's interesting because the idea usually, Don, is like, oh, man, the AFC is so good, and you know that's where all the top quarterbacks are. And listen, I think pretty comfortably everybody would tell you the 4 best quarterbacks all play in the AFC, but one of them might not even make the playoffs when you think about Burrow. The NFC is just a little more balanced maybe, a little more depth within the conference. And I'll tell you, you know, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible to think that a team that at one point was like plus 250 to win a Super Bowl could end up the 5th seed. Yeah. When we talk about the Detroit Lions. I mean, it is it is unbelievable that that's where we are, man. Even
looking at the Eagles' record and be like, now hold on. If they had to play next week, they would wipe the Giants off the map. And they'd be like, you know what? Still doesn't matter. They're not even a 1 seed with 14 wins.
Yeah, it's a great point. Which, like, Detroit's lost 2 games.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like, man. Usually we say that, and it's like, oh, they collapsed. Right?
Yes. Yeah. We're looking at the Ravens, 5 losses. Like, hey, it's still a good team, but 5 losses. Like, no. Detroit, Minnesota, no. 2 games. 2 games they've each lost. It is crazy.
Like that's why, again, like, I almost look at the Bears. Like, the Bears probably are way better than... I mean, listen, the Bears have a lot of issues, but...
They do.
Like, you had to play those teams 6 times.
Put them in the AFC South. Like, yo, Bears looking good for the future. Eberflus still around.
I am telling you, man, Donnie, path of least resistance, the Lincoln Riley argument. Ben Johnson, you go grab an AFC South job, brother. Oh, there is no reason to take that Bears job. No way, dude. That's nuts.
Just swinging on. By the way, you look at the AFC standings right now. And by the way, Kansas City's going to be in the Super Bowl game. I'm just putting that out there right now. Nah. Love what the Buffalo Bills are doing. We'll talk about the Jets if we have some time because that is just hilariousness all the way around. Ravens are in there, but the Steelers in that 5 seed right now, right? You say, well, you know, the fans' perspective, let's sit this one out. Like, let's get ready for the playoffs. No, you don't do that. Like, the 5th seed is your golden ticket right now because you get Houston round number one. If you're saying, hey, Steelers, let's just rest up for the playoffs, drop down a seed, and then get the Ravens, you're one and done fast, and your head is going to spin, which is hilarious. So at the end of the season, when you shouldn't really worry about seeding all that much, it feels like seeding in the NFC and the AFC for at least round number one, because you might argue, like the Packers, you lost that game, oh well, you're in the playoffs, you better get rested. And the question I even put out last night was, what do you do if you're the Packers in the NFC? Do you say, well, there is a chance that Washington could lose and we can win and jump them because they should be able to pace the Bears whether or not they feel like playing or not. But also at the same time, Washington is also going to go full tilt and should be able to take out the, you know, Dallas Cowboys.
Because are they?
Should they? Yeah, but should they, though?
So if I'm Washington, listen,
yes.
I know this. Mariota's playing.
Really?
Jaden Daniels took a hit, Donnie, in overtime.
I saw it. Oh, I watched the one where it looked like his leg snapped in half, or no? Oh, no, the one on the goal line? Which one
was it?
Yeah,
the one on the goal. Yeah, yeah. The one on the goal line where they had to call a timeout.
I actually know the plays.
Yeah, where they had to call a timeout so he could catch his breath.
Yes, yeah.
Like, Donnie,
he's definitely playing. There's no way he's not playing. Because you can't play the Eagles round number one. Like, you can't. You have...
Yeah.
The third and the fourth seed in the NFC are so beatable that you have to play it like it is a playoff game this year, this week for both of those teams. But the Packers is different to me, though, because they don't control it.
Right. No, listen, I hear you. I do. My thing is, they're favorites with Mariota in Dallas, aren't they? I'm not playing that kid. I'm not playing that kid. I'm not letting him get hit.
Isn't the line really low right now? Like, where? Let me see.
It's up to like three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dallas stinks, by the way, but Dallas is crazy enough to try to beat them, which is wild. But last night I was saying, like, just looking at the standings, like, oh, a team's going to rest. I'm like, wait a second. Like, the difference between playing, like, the Eagles and the Rams and or the Buccaneers or the Falcons is so big. Like, I think you have to play, which means, again, Washington, I get. It's like, you know what? If we win, no matter what happens, we don't play the Eagles. But the Packers are like, well, you know, we lost Watson the week before. Are we going to run Jacobs 29 times to win this football game? Like, you know, in order to win in cold weather and, you know, the hits are a little bit more while you know the Eagles are going to be rested up for us here. It does make for an interesting week. Like, if you can read the tea leaves, you can get great numbers this weekend. But I was kind of surprised Washington was only a 3-point favorite on the road, figuring they would be playing their starters. And who knows what Dallas is going to be like. Hey, look, you know, this offensive line's banged up. Micah Parsons. You're going to get a big contract. We can't have you tear your knee in a meaningless game. Like, that's the way I line up. I think Washington might absolutely blast Dallas. I do.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think it is tough to play to avoid a matchup because sometimes that goes left, right?
It does. No, it does.
Like, they already lost to Dallas this season when they were playing full gas. I don't think that Dallas is not going to lay down. Right? They just don't have that clearly. Like, that's just not how they approach things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would not let Jake Daniels take that field.
You know what? He's got to play. But let's take a look at some of the early lines for this Sunday's action and Saturday, because I think it is kind of interesting. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are we jumping lines here, Kevin? That's the question. I want to know if we're jumping lines. And if we do start on Saturday, two football games. What? 18-point spread, Kevin. Baltimore, Cleveland, unbelievable. Followed by Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. That's a 3-point number. Theoretically, Cincinnati absolutely has to win. That's why they play Cincinnati in that spot and said, you know what? Forget about what happens on Sunday. You get the best punch out of Cincinnati. And same thing with Pittsburgh. It's like, okay, seeding could still be on the line. You should be playing your starters. But Cincinnati, Kevin, is a favorite on the road at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? Is that the right move? Or is this one of those where you don't know how Pittsburgh's going to play it, so they had to hang Cincinnati as the 3-point favorite?
Yeah, I actually think the books are probably a little frustrated with that game. We alluded to it earlier on in our show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, Donnie, if everything is even with the way Cincy's playing, with their motivation, with the way Pittsburgh's playing, I think the Bengals are a favorite, right? Under a field goal, but I do think they are a favorite.
Yeah.
But if Donnie Tomlin hits the eject button, which maybe he will, maybe he won't. But if he does, since he goes up to what, 7? Like, hey, TJ's out, Pickens is out.
Yeah.
You know, Hayward's out, Russ is out.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a tricky spot for the books there. I imagine a lot of the bets will come in on Cincinnati. I think you made a really good point, though. Tomlin's the kind of guy who'll probably find any excuse to play his guys.
Yes.
And
he will.
Wanting to play the Texans over the Ravens is a very valid excuse.
Yes, it is.
Probably not even really an excuse. So I think that's valid, that he will likely, but I don't know if it's going to save him, Donnie. Like, Cincinnati is playing football at a very high level right now.
They are. You know what I want out of Tomlin? Like, he always has funny press conferences and says funny things. Can you imagine, Kevin? He comes out this week and goes, I'm resting all my starters. But you can improve and play the Texans. You don't understand. We're taking the Ravens out week one. I'm resting my starters. That's what we're going to do. Mm. Oh, like the rivalry would heat up so much because the one thing we can probably imagine is Baltimore is not losing to Cleveland. You are going to get Cincinnati's best punch. But you're right. Human element is Pittsburgh's already in the playoffs. So is it who just wants it more at that point? Let me just take a quick look at
Here's the incredible thing.
Ooh, man,
it's not going to happen. Ooh. If Baltimore loses, you will get the greatest Week 18 Saturday we've ever had.
Ooh.
Because one, Baltimore losing would be like unreal and set the world on fire.
Yes.
Pittsburgh, Donnie, wins the division.
Yes, correct.
If they beat Cincinnati.
Yes.
And that is why they did it this way. Because you could, like, plausibly get a Sunday night football level game in that Saturday spot.
Yes.
So that would be phenomenal, man. That'd be crazy.
Like, if they just, it's a shame that I know what they do for putting these divisional games late, which makes sense, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, but you should get robbed that one of those is Cleveland, who's completely out of it. By the way, 18 degrees at kickoff expected on Saturday.
By the way, don't let me bet the Browns, all right? Don't let me bet.
You know who's going to bet them. You know who's in on the Browns.
Money line, outright.
They got hammered by the Dolphins, which means that Joe is going to love that game. And we're going to be doing shows on Saturday. He's going to tell a lot of things about the Browns. DTR, tough scene last week, but now he's got it. Start under his belt. Jerry Jeudy, Ford in the backfield. You know, they're going to be amped up on it. But those are the two early lines from Saturday, which, again, blowout it looks like, and then a closer game. If we head to Sunday, and I don't want to take a look at the meaningless games, right? Let's take a look at some games with meaning on who's actually going to be playing. New Orleans and Tampa Bay, Kevin. 14.5-point spread for Tampa Bay in that game. 43.5 as a total. The one thing we know is Mike Evans is going to get his 1,000. It'll be force-fed. But this isn't a layup game where it's like, you know what? We already clinched it. Our only goal was to play a quarter. I'm going to throw you the ball 17 times until you catch however many you need for yards, and then we're going to dip out of here. They got to play this game all the way through. But is that 14.5 too high a number, even though we just saw them absolutely clown a football team on Sunday? Or New Orleans playing for, like, we want to play the spoiler. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is a tough game, and that spread is right on that number where it's like, I don't know if I want to lay more than two touchdowns.
It's a tricky number to lay.
Yeah.
But after the Sunday game against Vegas, I'm pretty sure the Saints are throwing the worst football team out there now.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just lose that game. They got destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, for Vegas, Donnie, that was a disaster of a victory again.
Oh, my God. Yes, it was.
You know? The Raiders thing is almost unimaginable. They're picking eighth if the season ended before week 18. Eighth.
Yes.
Yes.
Tom Brady's got to be furious right now. Like, now you don't need to get your guy out there. It's nonsense. But here comes New Orleans with Rattler, who was, by the way, Rattler did cash my at least sell me something bet. 175 and a tutty, yeah. He looked like he was on a rocket ship. Like, why didn't they just take two touchdowns and like 250? I don't even know if he completed a pass in the third quarter. Yeah, I don't think he completed a pass in the third quarter. But then came out, got some junk yards late in that game. Yeah, tough one. That's a tough look there for his New Orleans boys. Buffalo, New England, nobody playing for anything in that game. They're talking about Drake May even being on the bench in that one. And Buffalo's a favorite.
But Donnie, like, this is what I'm telling you. Like, this is a game that's right up your alley. If New England loses, they get the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're playing all Buffalo backups. How do you make sure you lose this game? Like, hey, like Jacoby Brissett, like who's the fourth string quarterback?
Yeah, you can't go to Jacoby Brissett. You can't do it. It's, you know what's funny? Because we'll skip to another game too and talk about the Giants-Eagles game. The Eagles are favored by 3.5.
Yeah.
The Giants just won this past weekend. You can't win two in a row. Mm-hmm. Like and the Eagles are at the point where it's like, you know what? They'll be like, why don't we win this? And again, no starter's going to play. But let's call a real game plan and beat them, because what do we lose a standing, a one seed line, like late for the draft? You know what I mean? Like you're not improving your draft position at all with a win for the Eagles, or losing your draft position at all. That's going to be determined in the playoffs per se. But like the Giants?
Yeah.
And I want to see the health of a franchise, because if I like Brian Daboll is not going to try to lose games. Coaches don't want to because it goes against their record. You know, like Nick Sirianni is probably like, you know, I really want to win this game because when I look at my numbers and be like, I'm like second all-time winning percentage over my first 4 or 5 years in the NFL, I want to keep that here against the Giants. You can't, like Neighbors is going to play. Drew Locke's going to play. They're going to have a real game plan. Unbelievable. Yeah. Number one seed to like ninth. Or the picking?
Yeah. Donnie, the Titans are favored over the Texans. Tennessee's got the 2 seed right now.
Yes. Yeah, we got to keep going through some of these lines. You might be getting gems. You might have the best PFT of the year on Sunday for Meaningless Sunday with these nonsense lines. We'll be right back. Sports Grid Network, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got a couple more games here on Sunday, Kevin. Just some quick looks. Carolina-Atlanta. Atlanta laying 7.5 in a must-win game for them at 1 o'clock, side-by-side with Tampa Bay at 14. Carolina got catapulted, man, by Tampa. 48.5 number. Do we look at a whitewashing for Atlanta at this point, knowing that Carolina, again, doesn't really want to win that? Because you're at the point where some teams need it, and some teams – and again, you might have thought, because I sat on the set yesterday and said Indianapolis is a great teaser spot. I don't know if they covered a 7.5, but they're winning that football game. No, they didn't. They had to win, and the Giants were, we are partying because Shador is going to be ours.
Yeah, you get upsets. You'll get stuff like that, though, next week, Donnie, right? So where that could be Carolina. Carolina doesn't care about a draft pick. They just want Bryce to look good, right?
Oh.
Like, they just want Bryce to look good. I assume so, right? I mean, they're not picking inside the top five as we sit here today, so I don't think they're going to be drafting quarterback at all. You know what we haven't talked about?
What?
What the heck did the Vikings do with the quarterback situation?
Oh, yeah. You keep Sam Darnold. You pay him like Kirk Cousins. You give him $200 million, $100 million guaranteed four-year contract, and you say, we'll play it. If it doesn't work out, we got our guy. I don't think you cut bait with J.J. McCarthy. But you're at the point now where you're going to let him walk because you can't, Kevin, you can't tag him. You can't say, we'll play the tag game. Oh, what's that, $60 million? That's, again, we said, well, that's what he's going to cost. Like, no. That's why you have a contract where you can make him count for $8 million next year against the cap. You tag him, it's 50-plus million. You can't move. You can't have a roster.
Yeah. It's crazy. But when you add in the fact that J.J.'s coming off an injury, and the fact that you can usually sit guys and it work out.
Yes.
I agree you pay Darnold. Now, I don't know. I don't think you want to do a 4-year deal, right? I don't think you want to do four.
Oh, you have to. He's going to command money on the open market. You can't get away with a hometown discount. It's not happening.
I'll just say, I hear you. I'll just say this. And it's not Daniel Jones-esque, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you sit with it, I know you can give me some. But you got to tell me how many teams are giving Sam Darnold, you know, earth-shattering long contracts. The list is always shorter than you'd think.
Oh, it is.
You know?
But all it takes is like two teams that go, we think we have what it takes right now in the building. We just need a quarterback that could be competent, and we're willing to pay for it, just like the Atlanta Falcons were.
Yeah.
It's all. It only takes one team. By the way, I know we're running out. We have so many good topics to get to, but Denver, Kansas City, 425. Some outlets as high as 10 on Denver. I know you're licking your chops on Kansas City. I know you are.
I am.
Because Carson is going to get in that game, and he's not there to hand off. He's there to have
not
fun.
Not at all. Yeah, that'll be my Super Bowl. I won't miss a second of that game. I adore him. I said he would have saved the Jet season last year, and eventually people agreed with me.
Kevin. Like, if the Steelers just got Wentz as their starter, how much fun we would have with that. Oh, man.
It
probably would have
worked
out horribly, but it would have been
so
great.
No, it wouldn't have.
Leads him to victory?
No.
Superstar in the Keystone State?
He was this close to bringing Indy to the playoffs, and then people lost their minds, man.
It did.
Because he couldn't play with Ron Rivera. Yeah. Like, cut it out. The guy was terrible. Yeah. I don't know, man. I look forward to it. I look forward to it greatly. And I hope they beat Denver. Buffalo, Cincinnati, round one. But here's a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to get... Now, I will tell you this. And yes. Keep in mind, I have a ticket on the Dolphins to win the AFC.
Yes.
If that's going to be Tyler Huntley, please keep Miami out. Please. It I cannot watch Huntley. That.
I think he's done. We had the doc on today. He wasn't even sure. Like, that even surprised him, that with the injury that Tua has.
Yeah.
He was expecting him to play on a Sunday. Other games like this quickly, too. Seattle and Los Angeles, like the Rams. The Rams aren't playing anybody this week. It's only 2.5 and 3 across the outlets for Seattle. Like, what are we doing here?
So the Rams, Donnie, though, the Rams, Donnie, go from 3 to 4. Like, if they lose and Tampa wins, they're going to fall to the 4. Does that matter?
No. Like, I don't think that matters at that point. Like, are you playing your starters for that?
I hear you. I hear you. I'm, you know.
Like, Matthew Stafford doesn't play in that game. Puka? Like, Puka in that game?
Yeah, I don't think so. But, Donnie, like, you're talking playing Minnesota, Detroit, or playing Washington or Green Bay. I don't know. They might.
Yeah, I love this week, man. Like, I'm coming up on this week, and like, this week's going to stink. There are so many awesome handicaps that you could be a hero or a zero in a matter of minutes on what you thought was going to happen. Just the way it is. By the way, chat box sensational all show. Popping out there in these streets. Donnie Right Side, Kevin Walsh, Moneyline, KP behind the wheels of steel. We'll see you next time right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.